And we're coming up on the holidays, the time to strengthen the bonds of family and the ties that bind or strangle. For many, those ties have been severed. We've heard celebrities talk about it. Here's Modern Family actress Ariel Winter with Ellen DeGeneres in 2016. Ariel cut off her mother.
It has been very sad for me, but at the same time, it's been much better for me emotionally and physically to be on my own and have a better, safer household and support system. I don't really talk about the reason that I don't speak to my mother. It's kind of been publicized, but the reason I don't really share that is because I want to give her the same respect that she didn't give to me publicly.
And Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and his brother Jordan famously don't speak to each other. Jordan was on the reality show The Bachelorette and talked about being close with another brother, but not Aaron.
It's just kind of the way he's chosen to do life. And I chose to stay close with my family and my parents and my brother. And it's not ideal. And I love him. I can't imagine what it's like to be in his shoes and have the pressure he has and the demands from people that he has. Don't have hard feelings against him. It's just how things go right now.
Studies show this is far more common than people think, but we learned recently some people don't even know there's a name for it. Well, it's estrangement. It can be emotionally fraught. Many people get professional help. But we want to learn more about it, and there are only a handful of scholars who study estrangement. Christina Sharp is one. She's an assistant professor of communication at the University of Washington. Christina, professor, first of all, define estrangement.
Basically, we think of it as a process where at least one family member is voluntarily and intentionally creating distance with another family member or family members because of an ongoing negative relationship. And people ask me whether I think estrangement is a product of children being too entitled. But I've found that the majority of people I talk to sought distance for very serious instances of abuse or neglect. People don't become estranged for arbitrary reasons.
Well, and, you know, there are 12-step rooms where people who come from families that have problems of alcoholism or, as you said, abuse, you hear a lot about estrangement there. People just feel they have to distance themselves. But then on the other hand, we're reading about parents who are completely shocked when their children estrange themselves from them. They can't see a reason.
So it's very interesting when you talk with both sides of that parent-child couple. So adult children, at least those who I've just talked to, know exactly why it happened. Parents are much more likely to say, I have no idea how this happened, and it's just like an emotionally tragic occurrence between them. So it's hard because we're never really able to capture both of the people together.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of times, at least one of them doesn't want to have anything to do with the other. And sometimes it's just an issue of safety.
Well, then, what do you tell the rejected family member? Because Psychology Today describes, you know, parents, for instance, who have separation anxiety. It's like a death for them. And, you know, how do they handle that?
Absolutely. It's something we call ambiguous loss, where even though the person isn't physically gone, they're psychologically gone. And it's extremely difficult because it accompanies something called disenfranchised grief, which is where this grief isn't acknowledged by people. So oftentimes these people aren't getting any support because it's very hard to talk about. I'm not a clinician, but I think that it's really important that they surround themselves with people who can offer support without judgment.
Yeah. But what about the person who's doing the estranging for whatever reason? Because you say they often do it for reasons of safety, but can't that still feel incredibly guilt-ridden? You're cutting yourself off from family with everything society tells you that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that estrangement is, especially for the person who initiates it, can be simultaneously positive and negative. So estrangement can be a healthy solution to an unhealthy environment. But we also live in a culture where we ask about each other's families quite often. And then the holidays bring up times when we think about being with family. So a lot of people who I talk to really had uncertainty about whether they were good people. They would say things like, prisoners and rapists probably have I heart mom tattoos, but I don't. I don't love my parents. And what does that mean?
What does that make me? Yeah. And I'm sure you come across ambiguity, too. I have to cut myself off from my parent for my own safety and because they're not going to change. But there's a yearning for a parent.
Sure. And I think this is where something called, we call it voluntary kin, is really important. And it's the family that we create for ourselves.
Well, and we're coming up on Thanksgiving. We know about Friendsgiving, you know, people who have Thanksgiving with the family they choose.
Yeah, absolutely. These relationships can become extremely important. And as someone who studies communication, a family can be more than just blood ties. A family can be people who we spend time with, the people who do the behaviors of family. And so there's nothing to say that family can't be people who we interact with, who we love, who take care of one another. So I think it's really a nice opportunity for people to resist that idea that you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. You absolutely can choose both.
Look, Christina Sharp, having researched this and met so many people who are in estrangement in some way, you know, can you talk about just the depth of it? You know, for those who are thinking, this, I can't imagine this. You know, I get mad every now and then. But, I mean, completely cutting off family. What do you hear? What's that like? How emotional does it get when you talk to people on either end?
So I think that's one of the myths of estrangement, that estrangement is a complete cutoff or it's final. Really, estrangement is more of a continuum where you can either be more or less estranged. And actually, people often go through multiple times of trying to create distance before they're able to maintain a level of distance that's right for them. And so it's actually the maintaining of the distance that's often more difficult than accomplishing it in the first place. Sometimes I can say, you know, I don't want to talk to you, but then the holidays roll around or there's a wedding or a funeral, and then I have to renegotiate that boundary. Am I going to talk to them in this moment or am I not going to go? So I think that for each person, it's really individual, and that maintenance is really hard because the culture is kind of sucking you back in, right? You're defaulting to this idea that families are together. So it's very hard to maintain that distance, even if you're able to create it.
Yeah, everywhere you look, there's happy scenes of families. I'm reading about a mother whose friends all post on Facebook what happens when their children come home and hers do not. So there's that.
And it's really difficult, actually, for everyone in the family, not just, so specifically, we often look at parents and children, but the immediate family is also suffering quite a bit because people are forced to take sides and also have to negotiate what that is. So if a child decides to distance themselves from one parent, oftentimes that means they feel they have to distance themselves from the other parent as well.
But again, you say, you know, at least in the moment, find what feels like family to you, no matter who you are in this picture.
Yeah, absolutely. We can choose to have the people in our lives who really can support us and provide us the comfort and the camaraderie of family. And for people who are looking to support people who are going through the estrangement process, even though their first reaction might be to say, I'm so sorry, it's so sad, that these people have often been really courageous in creating this distance, and that some of the best things we can do is to accept their decisions to create distance and not ask for details that people aren't ready to provide.
And for them, it may not be sad at all.
Exactly.
It may be a saving grace.
Yeah. So like we would, if our friend told us that they were going to leave an abusive relationship, we'd be so happy for them. But for some reason, when it comes to families, we encourage people to return to those relationships all the time.
That's Christina Sharp, Assistant Professor of Communication at the University of Washington and one of the few scholars in the world on estrangement. Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.